Well, let's start. I want to talk today on a theme, which is just going to be, at least just for today, raising up a generation for God. And it's an amazing privilege which we all have to invest in our children and the youth for the glory of God. And that includes you, whether you've got children of your own, or because you're part of a church which has scores of children and youth, we all have a part to play in the support and input which we can bring into their lives. And we've been looking at prayer for the last few weeks, and we're going to get back to it again. I think the Lord is saying something about prayer, which we need to persevere in. But it's important that, we spoke for a few weeks on prayer, that we begin to put into practice some of those things which we've been talking about. And just because I'm not talking about prayer specifically today doesn't mean that we finish with prayer. So just a reminder, prayer is just simply speaking to God. It's that simple. Just calling out to God. No need for priests, no need to come to church, no need for special places. It's just us speaking to him. And actually, he loves to hear us. He loves to hear us. Bring our requests, bring our thanks, have our conversations with him. It's not about public display. It's not about lots of words. It's about you being real with God. Getting to know him as your father and be totally honest with him. There's things that you'll say to God in the secret place, which would be inappropriate in a corporate prayer meeting, but you can just be real with him, you and God. And he hears you. And Jesus says he'll reward you as well as you spend time with him. Sometimes it's hard to know, well, what do we pray? Where do we start? And Dan helped us with a reminder from the Lord's Prayer that the Lord's Prayer isn't so much a prayer in itself, but a list of six or seven headings which we can just pray through. Yongi Cho, he was the leader of the biggest church in the world, 800,000 or so in Korea. And for an hour or two every day, he would just go through the Lord's Prayer. Not just reciting it, but using each heading for an hour or two. He used to say it's like going around a race course, and when I finish, I come back and I start again. And that church learned to pray, and it seemed so methodical and mechanical, and yet they saw incredible, incredible growth and results. So the importance is learning to pray. And then last week, we looked at the importance of living a good life, a God life, faith, perseverance, and passion if we want God to hear our prayers. And we looked at different scriptures. So today we're looking at raising up a generation. I haven't got it on here. I don't know whether that is meant to be that way or whether it can be sorted around. But raising up a generation for God. And I just want to start with this verse from Matthew chapter 9. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." This is an important prayer. Last week we talked about the importance of seeing and of visualizing in the context of prayer. And here Jesus, he doesn't just see multitudes, he doesn't just see the crowds, he sees harvest. He sees their people ripe for picking. He sees people there, they're in need, they're desperate, and he's got an answer. And he says, pray for workers. There's not enough workers. We need to pray for workers. And all across the church, we need more workers. So we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest for an urgent need we have among the children at the moment, especially on Sunday mornings. But we need to pray. And Jesus told them to pray. And do you know what? In the next verse, they became the answer. He sent them out to begin to take in the harvest. Maybe you'll be the answer too. So I want to talk about an important commission we all have, and especially if you're a parent. At a recent prayer meeting, I felt God say to me, we need to invest in the next generation. And I want to be obedient to that word. Not entirely sure how that all works, what it looks like, but I know it's important because our children and youth are important, and God has an amazing plan for them. You see, God is a God of three generations. In fact, I think we always have to have a three-generational perspective. Imparting the vision to the next generation is good, but unless they're able to impart it to the following generation, it's not going to succeed. It needs to be imparted successfully to the third generation. And then you watch out for multiplication. So here we have, in Exodus, "Do not come any closer," God says to Moses. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Time and again, Scripture reminds us he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's three generations. When the third generation is established, multiplication comes. So in G12, it's 1, it's 12, it's 144, and then multiplication. And multiplication will lead to overflow. So it's not just your cell, it's raising up a team of 12 who are going to lead 12 cells, three generations of disciples. I digress, but the principle is important, and it applies in the natural too. You see, children are a blessing from God. They are a reward from him. We must see children as a blessing. The early years are so formative. Of course, they need loving discipline. And when do you start? Yeah, because little Abigail, no, not Abigail. Annabelle, you know, when do you start disciplining little Annabelle, who's just a few weeks old? But somewhere down the line, Annabelle is going to need some correction and some disciplines. But they need our time and they need our love. And they're not little gods which control our actions and priorities, as some children seem to become in their families, but they are a priority. And as parents, whether we're single parents or whether it's mum and dad together, we need to try to bring them up and create that environment where there's encouragement, where there's fun, where there's positive language, and where there's God. So let's be careful how we speak about our children. They are God's blessing to us. Sometimes you see little children going around with these T-shirts, you know, with negative slogans on them. And I think it's meant to be funny, but I would prefer something positive on the T-shirts rather than negative. My mum used to call my sister Penny, "Oh, she's my little bit of rubbish." And she meant it all very lovingly and sweet and stuff like that. But how about my little treasure rather than my little bit of rubbish? I have the privilege sometimes of pushing around two little grandchildren. And well-meaning public say to me, you know, I see double trouble. I say, no, double blessing. Double blessing. You know, we've got to be positive. We've got to speak the best out over our children. They're God's gift and his reward. So speak well of your children, especially in public. Scripture goes on. This is from Psalms. "But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments." Here we have three generations again. It's not just my children, but it's my children's children. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Me, my 12, my 144. And in the natural, in the practical, our children too. Now, I forgot Jackie wasn't around today. She's downstairs on the encounter. So I'm going to be representing me, the parents. And I'm going to ask if James and Lisa and that next generation would be able to come and join me with the little ones too. Yeah, up here, please. Yeah. That's you, James. Yeah. Where's Lisa and Emily? Oh, it's just the men and the little one. Okay, I don't know where the others are. Okay, this is great. Oh, come on, Emily. Thank you. Yeah. So here we have three generations. Me and Jackie. Oh, here we come. Me and Jackie. Just imagine, visualize. James, Emily, adopted son-in-law, and Lisa, my other daughter, and the two little ones afterwards. And do you know what? My responsibility our responsibility is for all of these people. It didn't go when they left home. Now, Emily's still at home, bless her. And we have our ups and downs, as dads and daughters do, don't we? And there's times when we like to talk, there's times when we don't like to talk. But I feel a responsibility for Emily. She's my little girl. She's always going to be my little girl. And I pray for her, and I want her to find God fresh in her life, so that she is going to really live her life for God. And James has left home, and Emma would be here as well. And do you know what? I pray for James and Emma too. They've left home, but I want the best for them. I want the desires of their heart to be fulfilled. I want them to be able to live a life which glorifies and honors God. Because they are like my 12. They are my sons. And of course, James and Lisa, exactly the same too. And when it comes to James and Lisa, I began to realize, you know, it's not now just sons here and daughters, but now Jackie's and my role is to train up fathers and mothers too. Because I've got a real concern for these two little ones, which I love spending time with. Because I want to see them become daughters of God, loving God, living for God. Yes, you as well, Bethany. Yeah. Making disciples, reaching their friends, making an impact for Jesus. So my role is to raise up the next generation, Emily, James, Lisa, and James, and Emma. And that role doesn't stop just because they've left home. James might sometimes wish it did, but Dad is there to bring advice. Dad is there to bring counsel. And sometimes they come and ask advice, and they ask counsel. And when it comes to bringing up two little ones with the exciting challenge, which they... Oh, with the exciting challenge which they are. Lisa sent me a really nice little card the other day at Father's Day and said, "You, I still need you, Dad, to be speaking into my life, to help us be..." Oh, you're not paying attention. "To help us be the parents which we need to become." Because who knows, parenting's difficult. And some of us have just got a little bit more experience than those which have just been parents for a year. And so my responsibility, our responsibility, goes to the third generation. I'm giving up now.
I would.
And of course, I pray for these little ones too. And I want the best for the little ones too. Do you get the image? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Sorry. Three generations. We want to raise up a generation which is going to raise up a generation which is going to bring glory to Jesus. Thank you, guys. So it's not taking responsibility away. James and Lisa are responsible for Phoebe and Bethany. That's their role. God's given them that role. But there are those behind them, around them, which just want to help them in that particular role. And we need to produce fathers and mothers as a church. You know, that's not an office. You know, there's positions in the church, cell leader or church leader or refreshments or whatever particular role, pastors and roles we have. But being a father and mother is not an office. That's something that you grow into. And I believe we need to raise up many fathers and mothers. And that's not dependent on whether you've got children or had children. That depends on your spirituality. So that we can be fathers and mothers to a generation which needs fathering and mothering. Where are the fathers? We're producing a fatherless society. It's time for the church to raise up fathers and mothers, not just for the church, but that we can impact those around us as well, and an example to the community around us. So God has spoken to me about the need to invest in the next generation. We need to raise up fathers and mothers who will raise up children to serve the Lord. It's priestly family. It's families together. I can't help it whenever I'm thank you for showing that clip, James. We'll show it again some other time. But you see there with Pastor Caesar and Claudia, such role models when it comes to marriage and family and ministry, and how they've worked it through. And when you come to the conference, when you come in January, you'll find it's not all lectures, it's not all just speaking, it's not all just teaching, But you'll find there's times there when it's just modeling what it is to be family, having fun, little children and parents and how they're relating to each other, and we can learn and be inspired by what God wants to do in our families too. So investing in the next generation. Here's a scripture from Malachi, God talking about why marriage is important. This is what he says. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit you are his. And what does he want? What's he looking for? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. One reason it's really important, marriage is really important, is because God is looking for godly children. That's parents' responsibility. He's expecting us to be investing in and raising up a future generation who are passionate for God and his call on their lives. Now, in saying those words, just quoting from scripture really, I don't want to bring any condemnation to anybody's parents whose children are far from the Lord, but our responsibility is to pray for them. Our responsibility is not to always hold back and just let them carry on, but to bring words of counsel and advice. They may ignore it, they may not, but as responsible parents before God, we need to take that responsibility. We were looking in last week in the Equipping for Destiny course at fathers, and the teaching pointed out that Eli, who was, I can't remember his son's, he was a priest anyhow, Eli, God says, he did not take responsibility. He had grown sons, and they were sleeping with the women around the temple, and they were just disregarding all the temple rules and regulations. And God held Eli responsible, because you've not spoken into the lives of your grown sons, who were also husbands to others too. So the responsibility doesn't end when they leave home. Let's pray. And where God gives us that insight and that wisdom, ask for the boldness to share that with our children. We have to be intentional. We have to lay good foundations in their lives, Christian foundations. When they get to school, they will hear such unbiblical perspectives and secular agendas, totally contrary to the Bible, totally contrary to the values which Christians we stand for. So where are they going to get the right values from? The home. That's why it's so important that we spend time before they go to school and then afterwards as well, putting in values. We teach them to love God. We teach them to love the Bible. We teach them to love the church. We model it by the way we love God, the way we read and love the Bible, and the way we go to church. We teach them how to pray. We teach them to trust God. And you know, even when things are hard in our lives, they can see, but I'm still trusting. I'm still praying to God. I don't understand why this sickness has come, or that financial problem, or I've lost my job, or whatever it might be. But they see us, we're trusting God. Or maybe they see us, our faith is slipping, but there's those around that we can draw on to help us. So there's reality, but at the same time, we know God's got the answer. Amen. It's what we have to model to our children. It's not just sending them off, packing them off to Sunday school, as they used to do in the old days. You know, you go to Sunday school while I go and watch football or go down to the pub. No. No, we model it in our homes. And junior church backs up everything which we're talking about. So we teach them to pray. We teach them to trust God and to obey his word. We help them understand the Holy Spirit wants to empower them now. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come when the children have gone. The Holy Spirit wants to use them now. He wants to empower them to be witnesses for him, to tell about Jesus at school, to tell about Jesus at college. And many of our youth and you know, maybe us adults are a little bit frightened of that sort of thing. So we need to say, the Holy Spirit, fill us, your heart, your passion, that we can model something, that we can encourage our children to be actually catching the heart of God to see souls saved and disciples formed. It's an awesome privilege we have as parents, and an awesome responsibility. And that's what God's looking for from good marriages. And the best form of teaching is example. So parents, we need to be setting that good example. And if you're not married, and you have children, just do your best. It can be demanding for a couple even harder for single parents. But I want to encourage you, be part of the church family. Draw in those which can help. Encourage your children to be mixing with other children so that at home, or whether it be here, values, Christian values, can be shared and imparted into their lives. God has great plans for your children, and God loves little children. I've got a little bit more to say, but before I go on, I'm just going to ask Dan if he would just come. Dan Hollands, are you here? He's just coming. Dan, just come and share something of your heart when it comes to children. Mike down there, yeah.
Morning, everyone. Yeah, just a little bit, basically, about what a privilege it is to work with children. You see, whether we like it, whether we realise it, whether we don't, it's our children that are literally the next leaders, prophets, teachers, healers, gospel preachers. That's them. So when Pastor said, can you share about what a privilege it is to work with them, almost need I say more. Do you know what I mean? These are, when I look upon the kids that we work with, and you just think, you know, if you allow your mind to boggle, do you know what I mean? And just look at them and go, wow, before me is that potential leaders of churches. Before me is that potential healers, people that are going to know Jesus. And my heart and my passion is that the kids in front of me are going to know Jesus closer than I ever have. My passion has to be that they're going to see more than I've ever seen in my life. And I'm willing to lay down my life for the fact and my time for the fact that they can go on and see greater things than I ever did. Because there's more. There is more. God has more to do. God wants to work for us in a more powerful way. So when I look at these kids, I just think, God, what can I do? How can I do more for them to allow them to move in a greater way than we ever have, than I ever have? And God's really put it on my heart about this whole generational living and the importance of investing everything I have personally. I'm only looking at it from my personal point of view. Investing everything I have in those children before me so that they can go on and they can build on. And God can build his church on, not keep it the same, but build it on and build it greater and build it to be more of bringing his kingdom into this place. Those three little points real quickly. Proverbs 22:6 says, to train a child in his ways, and when they are older, they will not fall. It's so important, do you know what I mean? The Bible tells us to train these children. It's not that it's just going to happen. We have to train these children. It's so, so important for the sake of the church, for the sake of his kingdom, for the sake of us ever moving on and going on to anything greater. So three things. Children are special to Jesus. Yeah. You know, they're the only age group that I love this fact, right? That they're the only age group that if they die here and then, they just got to be with Jesus, man. That's it. They're there with Jesus, sat upon his knee. They were so important to him that he literally said, be quiet, be still, move out the way, and let them come to me. What a privilege it is to work with that age group that literally are that important to Jesus, and he loves them so much. Children's faith is a pleasure to see. When you say something to a child, they believe it. They haven't been polluted, as it were, by the things that we've been polluted by. Their minds are so pure when it comes to the things of God. They know God and they have a beautiful childlike faith. And in fact, it's how Jesus told us to be, was to be like them. Do you know what I mean? With that childlike faith. So for me, it's a continual challenge and a privilege working with kids. Because the whole time of me teaching and preaching to them, I'm thinking at the same time, God, help me to be more like them. Help me to be more like them. Help me to have that crystal clear understanding of who you are. It's such a beautiful thing to see. It's such a beautiful thing to work with. Just a quick story. When we used to run a sort of slightly larger kids club quite a while ago, there was a child that came and said, oh, my mum's got cancer. Can we pray for her? 200 kids that day bowed in prayer. That lady was healed that day of cancer. Boom. Yeah. There wasn't any questions. There wasn't any ifs. There wasn't any buts. There wasn't any anything. Do you know what I mean? It's literally, oh, can we pray so she'll be better? Well, yeah, okay. It's a bit of a challenge to me, but yeah, we can do that. They prayed, she was healed. Not us, they prayed. Such a simple faith, do you know what I mean? It says that if you pray for her, she will be better. Absolutely beautiful, crystal clear faith. Thirdly, we pray for revival. We ask for revival. We want revival. If we're going to build a church that's going to sustain a revival, not one that's just going to pass us by, then they're the people that are going to sustain it. They're the age group that are going to hold it. They're the age group that are going to grow. So personally, I want to give them everything I've got. I want to work with them. I want to teach them. I want to give them everything they got so that they can be strong and so that they can sustain and they can see more Amen. Than I ever do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dan. So Dan, along with Catherine and Jackie and a host of others, is one of the workers here in the church. But for Dan, you see, it's not like, a duty. He's got the heart, the vision behind what's involved there, because he wants to raise up a future generation for him. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." The disciples were saying, no, leave Jesus alone. You know, he's got far more important things to do. Jesus said, no, let them come. Let them come. And in one of the other translations, it says they came and he blessed them. He laid hands on them and he blessed them. They are not tomorrow's church. They are today's church. There's only one Holy Spirit, and he wants to empower us, and he wants to empower our children too. Tongues, prophecy, healings, they're not just for adults. They're for young children, youth, older people as well. And it's our responsibility to share this good news, because they are today's church. Children all over the world are being used by God to prophesy, to heal, to share the gospel, to lead worship. Children in G12 churches are inviting their friends to cells and other activities, and they're being trained to lead small cells, children's cells. Just this year at the gate, one 14-year-old prayed a prayer with more than 40 people in a series, probably 6 weeks. Out on the streets in Reading, she was going with adult supervision, but at her school too, sharing the gospel, making Jesus known to them. The little 14-year-old girl. Church, they are so important. They are our church. Our children need to be empowered. They are part of the army God is raising up. It's not just a load of adults. It's children, young ones and old ones. We used to sing a song, "Young ones and old ones together say, all my springs of joy are in him." You know, it's together. And not everything, not activity-wise, can flow together. You know, it's good to have children's activities and other activities. But together as the church, we go forward, realizing the importance of the different roles which we have. And I don't know what role I've got to play, but I want to invest in their future. I'm a parent. As I said, I want to see my children fulfill God's call on their lives. And as a grandparent, I want to see my grandchildren commit to God and following him and knowing his plan for their lives. And many children come here on Sundays. I want to give them the best too. I'm not thinking Sunday school in the traditional sense. I'm thinking church, maybe worship and cells and training, events to bring friends to, children feeling loved and cared for and discipled with parents' support and help. We need a new wineskin, one which can keep expanding. At the moment, our current wineskin is close to bursting. We need something different, and I've asked the children's leaders, and I'm involved, and others can be involved too, to pray and to just ask God, what do we need to do? Because we don't want to say no more children. We want to encourage more children. Yeah, Pastor Caesar said this was too small, this building. We're going to have to find another building. We're going to have to do something, but we need more children. They want to come. We don't want to turn them away. But we need to be caring for them well and looking after them well. So I want to ask you to pray with us. God wants to do more than we can ask or think. We haven't seen anything yet. This is there's a growth among the children, but when there's a growth among the adults, you know, it will be nothing like what we're envisaging. God wants to do far more here than we can ask or think. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for workers. Workers who want to invest in the next generation. Workers who have a vision to raise up children, to love and serve the Lord. Workers who love the children and know God's called them to invest in them and to play their part. Somewhere along the line, we need to find ways to support parents. Please come up, Sophie. That'd be nice. We need to find ways to support parents, because the parents' role is so important too. So I guess I'm saying, I said to Dan and Jackie, I said, look, I don't want to make any appeals. I'm not begging, but I'm just saying there's a need here. The harvest is plentiful. We need more workers. And I'm not looking for people to come up and say, yeah, Nev, yeah, okay. Well, if you want me to come once a month, yeah, okay. I'm not looking for that sort of response, actually. I'm thinking the sort of response I'm looking for is, yeah, this is so important. I'll be there. I'll form a team. I'll make it happen. I'll do what needs to be done in order that we can invest and raise up a future generation. Working alongside parents. Parents and workers together, investing in children and youth. Train me. Equip me. Holy Spirit, fill me. As I was preparing, I was thinking, LifeSpring, our future is out there. Souls not yet heard the gospel, not yet responded. And our future is down there. Young children who God's given us with responsibility to raise up, to be part of the army that he's raising up in our day and age. It's time to intentionally raise up a godly generation for his glory. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song in a moment or two, but I just want to wait for us. I just feel that let's just ask God to help us know how to respond. Parents, how do we respond? Those of us with children at home, still our responsibility in that home sort of sense. How do we respond? Give us wisdom. Maybe some of you think, well, I've not been living quite as I need to be living. I've not been modeling. I've not been teaching. I've not been praying. Well, you don't need to tell me, but we can just tell the Lord. And just, there might be opportunity here even just to get together with husband, wife, say, can we commit to making a difference? Can we commit to really praying, to really shaping and forming and be intentional? It might be others here whose children have left home and that day-to-day opportunity isn't there. But maybe we need to commit to pray. Maybe we need to commit to pray. Lord, you gave me my children. It was never your plan that they would lose faith. Maybe the church has let them down. Maybe I've let them down. Well, it might be me, but I'm thinking of you as a parent, you know. You know, maybe children have let them down, or whatever it might be, or friends. But God, your plan was for them to find you and live for you. Maybe we might even think, well, I've really not been the parent I need to be. And we ask for forgiveness. And there's grace that flows. There's grace to flow. And let's believe and expect God for turnaround, change round. His generations, his family. For the glory of God. And some of you are single and some of you haven't got children, or you're married and you haven't got children. You're part of a church which has children. You're part of this family. You're an important part of this family. Important part. And you've got a role to play if you want to play that role. You've got a role to play. Actually, if you do want to play a role and you've not already signed up, there's some letters here which I'm just going to leave on the stage. And I think Jackie filled these in before. But if you think, I just need to commit. I just want to do something. Please just take one of those and give it back to Jackie or some of the Connect desk as well. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much for family. Family in our homes and family here at the Pavilion. We want to thank you so much, Lord, that you've entrusted us with such incredible responsibility. There might be a future prime minister down here. might be future ambassadors down here, counsellors, MPs, teachers, professors, successful businessmen. Lord, we don't know what you've entrusted us with, but there's treasure here. There's treasure in our homes. And Lord, I want to ask you to help us commit with you to raising up a godly generation. So many churches are dying because they've not invested in youth and children. Only 30% of churches in our land have children under 18 attending them. Only 30%. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the life that they bring. We thank you for the joy that they bring. We thank you for children. We thank you for the young people. And Lord, as we wait before you, we pray. Put in our hearts, Lord, the response which we need to make. As parents, as workers, as part of this church, that we can be faithful to you to raise up a generation which is going to go beyond where we've gone in fulfilling and accomplishing the purposes of God for this town and even the country. In Jesus' name.